And then, so what is training? Well, training is this. If you tell one child to give the toy to another child, and the child would say, but I had it first, that's a violation. You should not argue. I would suggest you just take the child's paddle and give it a slap and just repeat, give the toy to. That's it. No questions answered, no explanation. You don't want to teach them to be lawyers at this time. You want to train them to be obedient. It's so important, so important. It's up to you if you want to tell them to do it and then tell them to do it again, then yell at them to do it and yell louder at them to do it, and at last they do it. You're training them that you don't do it unless they yell at them, right? So it's so important. I would strongly recommend that. And there's so many things. Another key verse is, a child left to themselves doesn't turn out right. Don't leave your child to yourself a lot. Be active in their lives. And the child are sponges. They're what they learn in these years, 2 to 5, will have a big bearing later in life. Teach them to clean up after themselves. Teach them to, if they get the bicycle, tricycle, drive it. When you're done with it, you put it away again. Pick your toys up after you. Throw your clothes in the hamper. Use all these things for training techniques. And if your child rebels and talks back, train with a slap, with either with your hand or with whatever. Don't let them talk back, because it's not up for them to decide what's right. You as the parent decide to be fair. The child doesn't decide that. The parents are called to raise the children up, not the children telling the parents how to do it. And I think once your children learn that, they will be so much happier. There will be so much less quibbling, quarreling. There's a time to reason. We'll get to that later. But basically what you want to this point, you want the child to know that you love them, you care about them, you're their best friend, but you're also their daddy, their mama. And if daddy says it, that's the way it is. I know that little poem of the little girl that had to go to bed when it's still sunlight. Apparently back then it was a little bit more, the children a little bit more obeyed the parents. She would much rather be up and playing because it's summertime, it was light in the late, but daddy had said she has to go to bed, it's bedtime, and if daddy says must, there's nothing but just. And so I would strongly recommend that. I will, now you will wonder about my children, my family, how did we do that? Did the children talk back? Did the children fight? Did they quarrel? Yes, they did. I'm going to give you two real scenarios. I'm trying to not say the names. The one is so worn that my family will be tired of hearing it. But it's for you to see. It's for you to see the principle beyond the cuteness of the stories. My dad used to work with us. We were doing woodworking back then already, and he didn't know what to do, and so he was there working with us. And the twins were just getting out of this age bracket. They were 5 or 6, and one of the twins, and I can guess the name. I think I know which one of them. He said to Dottie, he said, we're going to go to school. Dottie, I didn't see it, but I can imagine he got a little bit of a smirk, and he said to the little boy, he said, you can't go to school. You fight too much. He said, man, notched up. We quit now. And so basically, he, at least he won the word battle with Dottie, right? He wasn't fighting right then, so we stopped now. So obviously, you know, we had some issues, right? So did they do that in my presence? That's the next thing. Do they do it right in front of the parents? There was another time. There's another time that I was privileged to having a home business, and I would run into the house sometimes, be in the office, doing things that need to be done, being out in the shop, being in the house. I was in the house, and there's things happening in the kitchen that shouldn't be, and the rug is going on or whatever. And I said a child's name and said, you know that behavior is unacceptable. And the child just shot back, yes, but I didn't know you're in here. And I don't know if there's any repercussions. I could ask that child if there are any repercussions. But the thing was, he respected me, and that was it. It was a settled deal. I think my idea would be that if your children can quarrel and quibble right in front of you and talk back to you, that's kind of the impression they get of the kind of person that God is. And I think it's important to teach them that God is not like that. And let's see. A couple more things that I'm going to open up just in a minute or two. If there's an argument about a toy and you come across and they're arguing about the toy, just make a quick decision and tell one to give the toy to the other one. Generally, we tend to have the older ones give to the younger ones a little bit more, but you just make a choice. And the child that's supposed to give is supposed to give, not talk back. Use your training method if they talk back, and then if they throw a fit, if their temper shows up, then unfortunately you have to paddle. I would like to also say that I think if this is faithfully done, paddling does not come around. You like this one, children? It does not come around very often. I'm going to get myself into trouble, but and my children might correct me, but I think if you're paddling once a month or more, you're paddling too much and not training enough. That would be my thought. The training, be with your child, help your child. Daddy, when you come home, interact with your children. The child left to themselves, don't leave them to themselves more than you have to. It just creates trouble. If you come home, mom's busy getting supper, get the children involved, clean up the kitchen, do something with them, make it a fun time, make it a good time, make it a training time. Spend time with your children. And another thing I would say, don't let them settle the scores on themselves, because the stronger one is liable to take advantage of the weaker one and scare the weaker one into, I'm going to say, tell dad and tell mom, and take advantage of the weaker one. And it might not be physically weaker, but just the mental makeup of the child. And if you have a child that is pretty stubborn and really has a hard time giving up, never take the easy way out by making peace, by making the child that gives up easy give up. Always make the one give up that has a hard time giving up, because that's the one that really needs that to help it. Okay, at that point, I want to open it up and share any wisdom. If there's questions, I will give my opinion. Anything that you would like to share. And let's keep it into 2 to 5-year-olds or 6 maybe at this point.
You're right, Brother George. You're going to get yourself in trouble.
Pardon?
You said you're going to get yourself in trouble by saying this, and you're right. Would you mind sharing what age group were you talking about when you touched on the spanking thing once a month?
2 to 5. Maybe at 2, but by the time you get 3, 4. See, by the time your child is 5, turning on 6, you want to send them to school. Does the school teacher want to spank them every month? You want to get them to obey by training by that age as much as possible. I'm not saying spanking's out of the picture, but I'm saying a lot of training.
Yeah, question. Is there any danger in, I don't know exactly the term that was used, Brother George, but to the extent of using a hand to strike or hit a child? I think you maybe said the word swat, using the hand to swat. Is there any danger in using a hand in that way, or should it be an instrument?
Thank you for bringing that up, Brother Lee. I really think you should use a thin kind of a switch, but I always use my hand. But I think the switch would be better.
Yeah, I would have a question. How do you look at the role of the father and the role of the mother in this? Do you view them as equal, especially thinking of spankings? Do you feel like the father should be, you know, the one who does that? Or is there age differences that play into that, the age of the child?
Very good question. I'll give my opinion and, of course, our experience. My wife's personality was an S. If you know the D-I-S-C, she was a servant. So it was very hard for her to spank a child. It was very hard for her to demand a child. And so it fell a little bit more on me. I would say to this that a couple of things. One, if you're the father and you're at work, your mom is at home. Amos read the message from the Bible, the keeper of the home, and she should have the full authority of the home. If there's an issue and you come home, you don't sit mom and the child down and try to determine who did the right or the wrong thing. The child is supposed to mom. Moms, however hard it is, if you want the respect of your children, do use the rod if it's necessary. Else they'll only respect dad and not you, and they'll kind of get the best of you when dad's not there. Did I answer your question?
Yeah.
And it's very good if mom and dad can be very close on one page. The closer on one page, the better.
Just my comment on that. My mom didn't like to spank, and so if we misbehaved, it was always dreading when daddy gets home, because you didn't know for sure if you were going to get a spanking or not. But yeah, I would have much rather, growing up, I would have much rather had mom deal with it rather than wait and dread it all day.
I'm not quite sure if I caught that all. Would it have been better if mom would have used the switch? Yeah, I'd agree with that. Thank you.
Could you give some more practical things as far as training? That's something I feel like I was weak in. And if you spank too much and don't train enough, it seems like it doesn't turn out right.
You're asking, I'm trying to get your question. Are you asking if there's a danger of spanking too much and not training enough? I would say yes, because I think that if you spank more and train less, it's hard to keep that relationship good. You won't have the free-flowing relationship because you won't have the connection, you won't have the interaction. The training is interaction. So, yes. Oh, what is training? Okay, if you do a training session and you ask your child to pick up the toys, and the child doesn't, you don't spank, you just slap the patty and say, you pick up the toys. You know, it's training. So training is just teaching them to do that. And if you can work with them, like if you tell them to set the table, when they set the table, you're training them to be obedient. That's training. Training takes a lot of time. You have to be with your child, working with your child. Training happens in a pleasant environment where you're always, you know, discipline always is that, you know, what it, you know. Yeah, I should go more lengthily into that. It's a little bit difficult for me to do it fast, but and be very consistent in that as well. And if training can be pleasant, doesn't have to be, it just has to be very consistent. Get a horse that's not broke. You've had animals. How do you train them? You just spank them every time they disobey? Or you kind of pattern them in doing the right thing and just kind of a tweak thing in doing the right thing, right? Yeah, like a patterning. It's difficult. Can I make myself, I don't know if I made myself clear enough or not. There is a, go ahead.
Do you differentiate, or how do you differentiate between slapping a hand versus a spanking, and when do you go to a spanking?
I would probably limit the spanking to when there's very open, bold disobedience or rebellion. Not because they didn't respond the first time to give them the toy to their sibling or whatever, something like that. Does that make sense? I remember one time I spanked one of my children, and later I wondered, was that the right thing to do? But we were picking watermelons, and we were top of the hill, you know where we live, we had the hill, and she threatened to roll this watermelon down the hill. Now I gave myself away, it was a girl. But anyway, she said, no. I said, you're not allowed to do that. I seriously told you, you're not allowed to do that. I didn't yell at her, not allowed to do that. But it just, and she did anyway. And I spanked her, even though she wasn't really rebellious, but she was disobedient. Disobedience, yeah, I would tend to do a slap. Once you spank, you want to get beyond the will. A spanking isn't done just because you gave them 6 or 8 switches on the seat. The spanking is only done when the child really surrenders their will to you. There's a certain point in time, if you just spank and the child is still standing up inside, then you really harden the child instead of softening them, is my opinion. But training, you don't go to that length. Training, if you get outwards obedience, that's all you're asking for. Does that make a difference?
I'm just trying to think of a situation or an example that I can maybe make it clear, but it's not coming right now.
Training can be, this can be a course of training. You want to get your child to obey, but you don't want to spank every time. So, you ask your daughter to wash the dishes. She says, but it's not my turn. She talked back. She wasn't supposed to do that. So you say, okay, you're doing your dishes, these dishes tonight, and you're going to do the breakfast dishes. You talk back again, you're going to do the lunch dishes also. And she quietly washes the dishes that time and the next time. That's training. Training not to talk back, but it's not spanking, right? And you can disagree. There might be better ways of doing it. But you really need to, in a spanking, you really want to get on the other side of it. You really want them to surrender. If you just make them mad and they yell so loud to make mama sorry that she spanked them, you're really not getting anywhere, is my opinion. So, boy. Okay. We're only going 2 to 5, right? We aren't going to 15 yet.
My daughter's probably going to be embarrassed about this, but I just want to let you know, she was quite a bit younger than she is now. One time, I don't know what it was over, I was going to give her a spanking. And she remembers this. She thought, okay, I don't spank a wiggling child. You accept your spanking. And so she was wiggling. As long as she's wiggling, she didn't get a spanking.
I'm not quite...
As long as she was wiggling, she didn't get a spanking because I wanted her to...
Okay.
Be still and accept her spanking. And what I did in that time, I just gave a swat now and then, and I said, lay still, lay still. I had her laying across my knees. Until what I did is I just waited her out until finally she gave up. At that point, her will was broken, or surrendered. I would prefer that word better. And so I just gave her a couple swats because she was supposed to be getting a spanking. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. That's the way I did
it. Amen. The key is the surrender will. If you accomplish that, that was a key. I would agree with that. Yeah.
Something that's really important to me is their attitude.
Yes.
I do not put up with a whining, poor me attitude. It doesn't do well for them growing up, victim mentality just doesn't work in an adult. And so if they want to whine and complain and so on, so start young, yeah, we just don't put up with fussing. It just doesn't.
So if your child's whining, what do you do?
So what I do typically is I'll tell them first, you're whining. change your attitude. Think of something positive or something. As an example, even if they're complaining about the weather or complaining about whatever, I'm gonna say, we don't fuss. We don't, we accept whatever was given to us, And I have already spanked four attitudes, mm-hmm. Where they're just sour. They're just sour, And sometimes I'll tell Elizabeth, let's just wait. Sooner or later they'll disobey. Then we can clear their conscience. But there's been several times where just a rotten attitude we spanked for that, and it cleared the air, and they were all happy then, and whatever.
Yeah, amen. I don't know if I would require outward obedience by training probably, and then if they would rebel and scream, then I'd probably be spanking. But yeah, there's different ways. Thank you for sharing that. Appreciate that. You want your home, there's one back here. You want your home a peaceful attitude, like heaven on earth. You want a peaceful home. Yes.
So you mentioned, and I think I agree, about you don't want your child to be a lawyer. Be curious if you would ever give a why for anything at that age. How much why do you give for asking things?
No, I probably wouldn't. I might talk and teach it another time, but I would not ask them, request the why, if I tell them to do something. That comes later in life. That comes later in life. I'm not saying I did it the best way, but that's I see children, school-age children, they're good attorneys, and they can explain to their parents why and all that, and I don't like that. I don't think that's God's will. Brother Amos, what shall I do? It's time to go. It's time to go pray. I guess we'll close it down for now. Thank you all for sharing. It was very interesting. I know Amos got me into trouble. He can test me out. He can ask one of my younger children when we made changes in our child training if they remember how often they were spanked, and get an idea, see if I'm pretty close on that one. Okay, God bless you.
Hold on 1 second. So, we can veto the prayer meeting. I'd just like to hear from you if you would rather George finish this or you would rather go pray.
Okay, thank you very much. Very interesting, very interesting. Whatever Simeon and she has to share over there, whatever the others share, it's just as important as what I have to say. More important.
Yeah, I'd just like to comment about this asking why. Steve Ebersole, 14 children. I think I taught 9 of his children, so I do know him quite well. He's done a lot of teaching on child training, and he really has emphasized that, and it has impressed me, where he says, we focus on what the child did, not why. And we talk about this a lot in the school world, too. If you ask a child, well, why did you do that? But you're soon just going in circles, and you make them lawyers, exactly what you said, mm-hmm. instead of, this is what I did. And then after the discipline, after the correction, I think it is important to take time to help them understand you were very selfish in what you did, or you were manipulating when you did that, and help them understand some deeper things. Mm-hmm. But the focus is, this is what you did, and this is wrong. As soon as you ask why, then they're looking for an escape. And so that has really influenced how I related to school problems as well as
place. Home. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. Just one thing before I go on in baby training. A nursing mother, our babies got trained without being asked why or given a second chance if they decided to bite instead of suck. Gave a pretty quick slap. That was unacceptable, right? And didn't explain why either. All right, let's go on now. If you're sending them to school, 6 to 10, off to school. You know, dynamics change. Your child is growing up. And yeah, I should do a little bit more on that training. You said in explaining the child what they did. If you do a training thing and the child, you think the child should have known, but if the child in fact didn't know, training, just telling them you shouldn't have done that. If the child obeys, fine. If it doesn't obey, back it up with a slap, with a switch on their hand or something. It does really train them what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. And that would be important. Okay, 6 to 10, your child's off to school or you're homeschooling, whoever you do. And in many ways, it's much the same, in my opinion. Spend time with them, teach them what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. And unfortunately, if they have rebellious attitude, bad attitude, you have to deal with it. Affirmation is good. If your child has a good attitude, affirm them. If they do a good job, affirm them. Beware that you can't praise a child into being good. The obedience still needs to be there. And the modern philosophy, if you speak good enough to a child and get them to feel good enough about themselves, they will be good. It's good to affirm them, but you won't be able to good talk, sweet talk them into being good. I don't think that would be possible of doing that. Another thing I'd like to bring up, avoid scolding. Don't scold. I'm maybe a little bit different place than you would. You felt maybe uncomfortable my not explaining to a small child. At this point, 6 to 10, child's mind is increasing. Start explaining things. But it's not up for argument. If you're explaining a child, it's not up for them to argue back, to talk back. I don't think that would be the right place for a child to be. But if something needs to be done, do something. If for the child it was unacceptable, you're okay with just slapping them and training them. You're trying to train your child. You're not punishing them for what they did. I disagree with you a little bit on that one, I know, but you're probably right and I'm wrong. You're not punishing them for what you did. You're training them to go the right way. That's what you're doing. If your tree is bending, you're pulling the rope not to discipline the tree, just to get it to go the right way. If you can do that with a training technique of slapping their patty and telling them, or just telling them and they honor you, like I did to my one child that I said, you know, it's unacceptable, and they agreed with me. They agreed with me, but I didn't know you were here, but they agreed with me it was unacceptable, see. And then if you can convince them of that and get them to go the right way, that's the key. But again, if they throw a temper tantrum, get angry, hitting their siblings, you tell them to whatever, give the bicycle to whoever, and they talk back, but I had it first. It shouldn't be allowed. I mean, that's not what you do to God, is it? If you ask it, they should do it. You can then talk to them about it and say, you know, whatever you want to explain to them, that if you tell them to, they need to do that. It's for the best interest. You as the parents, you want to be fair to your children. Really try to be fair. I'm sure you do. Don't have any fair rights. But the children are not going to decide what being fair is. You, the parents, are given that responsibility to decide what's fair or not. At the table, ask them to be orderly. If you want a disciplined child, different disciplined parent, a disciplined teenager, grown up, now's the time to teach them a disciplined lifestyle. Teach them to be neat if you want somebody to grow up neat. If you want them to grow up sloppy, teach them to be sloppy. I mean, and more is caught than taught. You decide a lot of these things in the growing up years. If you want them to be frugal, teach them to be frugal. We always ask them to eat their first course before they dish the second course. And mealtime should be a pleasant time, time where everybody can talk, but when the parents decide to talk, they shouldn't have to yell. Children should give space for the parents to talk. It's time to start teaching them a little bit of work ethics, jobs. Maybe even before they start school, it's good if they can stick to a job a little bit. At this point, you know, from 6 to 10, they should be able to be told to do something, be able to at least hang in there for an hour by themselves and complete that job. Teach them some self-discipline. If they teach to work at a young age, it'll come easy when they're older. Of course, they get a lot of that in school, right? The school teachers can do that. But I don't know. Our school teachers said they really don't like wheelbarrows. They'd rather have skid loaders that go by themselves. And that has a lot to do with the way you train them in working. And don't make it be a nasty time. Spend time together. Maybe you can have a garden, weed the garden together, do things together, work with your children. And sometimes your children should just do it on their own. And there's something I'm going to share now. Sometimes I feel I push my children a little bit too hard, but every one of my children, there was at least one time I had to spank them to just convince them that, yes, you have to do that even if you don't want to. Just, I believe it was only probably not more than one time. Beyond that, it was just probably convincing them with a slap that if I tell them they have to do it, they have to do it. But if you want them to be diligent workers, I think it's important. If you want them to be frugal and not wasteful, it's important. A lot of the things that they learn during this time is how they will live. If you want them to be satisfied with less, don't have so many fancy toys, fancy furniture, fancy cars. It's time to start now. We'll get more into it as a teenager, but it's time to start now. I talk with a colleague of mine about 10 years ago, and his daughter was getting married. They were both a little bit older, his daughter and her boyfriend, and he fussed a little bit about the furniture they bought, matching oak bed sets and bedroom furniture and the kitchen furniture. And I said, "Brother, I was at your house overnight, and I thought that's how you live." "Yeah," he said, "but we didn't start out that way." There's two things that you want that you can think about it now already. You want your children to be able to afford to start out where you're at when they start out, and you want to be satisfied when they start out for where you're at. That would be my personal thing. Just because you have more money doesn't mean you should just live like that. It's not good for your family, it's my opinion. Okay, I'm through the 6 to 10. I'll open it up. If you tell your 6 to 10-year-old that you want them to stay inside during church service, after church service, you should only have to tell him one time. If he doesn't obey and you have to run after him and tell him time and again, you're missing something that will cause trouble later on.
Good, Brother George. I had a question on the scolding thing. You said no scolding. What, in your mind, what's the difference between admonishment and scolding?
Do you have a scripture that says that you should admonish your children? You're raising them up, you're instructing them, admonishing. That's a little bit of a tough one. Explain it to them, teach them. In a scolding, there is this talking down to the person. And after the scolding, you just leave it at that. And it kind of, it's a relationship breaker. So whatever you do, make sure it's a relationship builder, not a breaker. Somebody asked me a question that was easier. They said, well, how do you do it if you have to tell your child, you know, how it is? I said, you know now that I believe that I shouldn't be scolding my children at all. And if I'm correcting my child and you walk back behind me and I look around and I get a little bit hot, then I was scolding. but yeah, it's a little bit of a fine line, admonish. So what's admonishing different than teaching?
I guess to me, I would have seen the example you gave with washing the dishes as a very good way to admonish. And I'm assuming that was in the 6 to 10, is that where we're at?
It would have probably been closer to 10 age range.
So just 10, 12, admonishing 18, a consequence, you know, if there's an attitude, that's what I would see. But I think you answered my question. Scolding would be just bringing a condemnation upon the person. Thank you.
Whatever you do with your child, whether it's spanking, training, admonishing, at the end of whatever that session is, you want to have a full, clear assurance in that child's mind that all the air is clear. There is no silent treatment or anything or nothing. Daddy is happy with you. Everything's settled. Everything's in the past. We aren't trying to settle all the scores of the past. We're just going the right direction forward. And we're going to go together. Yeah. And at this, did we have a hand there? At this age also, you want to probably consider if you want to respect the younger children, not butting in when the adults are talking, they should wait their turn. I think that would be godly order. I think that would be good for them. I think it's good to have special family times, a family picnic once in a time, whatever. Although I would say beware of exciting things that feed the flesh, because you want them to grow up spiritually, not fleshly. So just beware of that. The more exciting things you get, the more the drive is for exciting things, and you're probably not really conducive to raising a godly seed. Okay, we're going to the next one. I was pretty hard on breaking their wills up to this point. Now we're 11 to 15. Maybe 11, we aren't getting so close, but 11 to 15, now it changes a little bit. What you indicated, what some people maybe feel we should start doing at 3, 4, and 5, I think this is time to start. You start guiding their wills. They're a different makeup. They're getting into adolescence. Their bodies are changing, and their whole mind thing is changing. They're getting into half-grown-ups, so it's a little bit different. You start to appeal to them. You start to explain to them. You draw a line. If you really have to draw a line, you draw a line. If you can get away with explaining to them, don't draw a line if you don't have to. Get them to do what you want them to do without drawing specific lines at this point. Try to guide their wills. 11 to 15, we're going. So it's the last school years here in the way we did school. Hopefully, during this time, your children will get born again. Most of our children were born again by the time they were 15. And even if they get born again, then it's even a different dynamic. And it makes it a lot easier, but they still need that guidance. But usually, a born-again believer, in what we saw, for the most part, they were guidable, so much more guidable. And it took so much less. I mean, by the time I grew a little bit spiritually, my children got born again, I didn't need the grace I needed earlier when I didn't have it, right? Because there was so few quarrels. They came along well. I'll share some names. Things change. The Spirit is real. There's a spiritual new birth. It doesn't necessarily happen at baptism, Brother Amos, because you see the difference. You see the fruit. My daughters, Rebecca and Mary. Rebecca was born again quite a bit before Mary was. And Irene, cute little girl. So cute. We kind of spoiled her. It was probably not good for her, but she grew up to be a very lovely lady. But anyway, she always wanted Rebecca. She didn't want Mary. She always wanted Rebecca. Mary was not happy. She thought we should force Irene to go to her sometimes because she wants Irene. But when she got born again, that all changed. When she got born again, it was just a different person. And Irene just became so happy to be with Mary during that time. And so it was a whole family. Our teenagers, it was kind of brought heaven on earth into our house when they became born again during that time. Know where they are at the time. I would say it's good to keep them busy. Remember, don't let them to themselves. A child left to themselves is not a good idea. I think you should know where they are at all times. Be careful of cliques within your family, especially girl-boy cliques. Be careful. Don't let them... I wouldn't let a boy and a girl off in a four-wheeler for hours back where you don't know where they are. We didn't do it that way. If you have a whole bunch of them, that's a little bit different than if it's just two of them. Explain them. Give them all the whys and why nots now. This is the time. They're growing, especially when they're born again. Point them to Christ, responsibility to Christ. The person that knew that it's unacceptable if daddy's there, you know, teach them that daddy's there all the time now. God is there all the time, sees it. It's a very much a time of teaching. Give them affirmation for good attitudes, good accomplishments. Maybe at this time, I would really encourage to teach them modesty in dress, modesty in respect. The boys respecting the girls and vice versa. They're growing into young men, young women, so there's a little bit of a difference now. They aren't the innocent boys and girls they were at 8, 9, and 10. They're pretty much growing out of the paddling age. If you didn't get it by now, it's too late now. Their wills are formed. The concrete is set. It's time to move on to the next stage. Yeah, modesty in dress, modesty in speech, modesty in interaction with the boys and girls. Reserved, to be reserved between ladies and men. Don't take the excuse because it's my sister, I can wrap my arms around her and do whatever and fool with her. Or my cousin, I can cut out with her because my cousin. I would say teach them that you shouldn't do that. That's, of course, my perspective. I'm the one that's speaking right now. And maybe at this time you also want to get them a little bit involved into financial accountability. Teach them, give them a specific thing that they can work. It's their money, things they can buy, things they can do with it. And give them kind of the idea that hard work, saving money, spending as you go and candy as you go, you never have a lot. Saving a lot, then you can buy something bigger like a bicycle or something. Teach them kind of the balance of the checkbook, if you will. It'll probably be time during those years to introduce that, at least to a certain degree. Okay, I'm going to open it up. We're going to wrap this up yet. I only have one more section to go. Did it so bad I discouraged you or did good enough that I covered it? How do you deal with your 11 to 15-year-olds?
Could guiding their will... That could be very broad, right?
Pardon?
Guiding their will, 10 to 15 years old, or 11 to 15. Would good sportsmanship be guiding their will?
Yes.
Playing fair.
Yes.
Taking out.
Yes. Yes, very good, very good. Very good.
You mentioned it's too late if you don't have their will. What's your advice for recourse then?
Sorry.
You mentioned that it's too late if you don't have their will. What's your advice for recourse?
Well, you're in good shape because you can do the right thing before you get there. Basically, what you need to do, especially as you get towards 15, 11, 12, I wouldn't spank a teenager. I remember spanking one child that I wished I wouldn't have because it did not work. The child was just too old. It did not. So basically, you do what you can to win their will. You do what you can to win them over as your friend at that point in time more. You still expect them, I don't know. My children at that age would still do what I told them to do, right? So something comes up. My 14-year-old decided he wants to wear the bill cap. People at church wear the bill cap, but the lead home doesn't. And so I tried to convince him not to wear it. And I'm probably able to do that without really hurting our relationship. Maybe at this point probably, if you've had their hearts and you had their wills up to 10, 11, you can probably guide through these. They get born again. They want to please God. They recognize pleasing you is pleasing God. So all those things work together. Be careful in just making a straight line. So you have an issue and there's something that goes wrong and something needs to be corrected. If they would have been a 9-year-old, you just say, son, this is how it's going to be, and you need to submit to this, and the son knows it does. Now he's 14, and the same thing kind of scenario happens. I would suggest that you do what you can to get over the bump, and then later in the day when this 14-year-old is sitting down, you're relaxed in the evening, you call him to your room, you have a talk with him, and you discuss it in a very... just in a very low-key way instead of when they're all worked up and try to get them to see into it. And children want to please daddy. They want to do what is right. They want to be good for the most part and try to do that much, much more. Don't do that with a 5-year-old, but with a 15-year-old. That would be your better option, I would think. And it can vary. Yeah.
One thought I would have there is other authorities, like school authorities, which at 15 they're probably out of school, they're in the parochial system, but other authorities can be a real asset. Mm-hmm. If there can be other people that speak into the child's life besides just dad, that can be a real asset also.
And at this age, I would still make absolutes when I have to. Yeah. Okay, anything else? All right, we'll go on. Just have a little bit of patience here, and we'll get through. Okay, 16 to 21. It's kind of your last shot. Children are growing up. You know, it's like having that arrow. You have it all pulled, and you're just letting it go. Now, it's a little bit even different. You try to influence their wills, and I will get to a little bit of detail in that one. You try to influence their wills. When I talk of a person, and he's talking about his 17 or 18 year old, and he's saying he's just unwilling to submit to what I say to him. I'd like to talk to that father and say, but you know, the point is they're growing up. They're becoming young ladies and young men. They're not children anymore. And their makeup is completely different than it was when they were growing up. And you want them to start to get strong. You want them to be able to stand, right? You want them to not just go wherever, because very soon they will be out on their own during this age time. The discipline just kind of needs to fade in the background. You really pull back on those years when you formed that relationship with your child when they were young. You spent time with them. You loved each other, and you still love each other. You still care about each other. You disagree sometimes. If there's a disagreement, now you have to deal a little bit different than back then. Obviously, you have a home, right? And your older siblings versus your younger siblings in your home. Your home still needs to be guided. You want to keep home safe for the younger siblings. So there might be a point in time where you would have to say to your son or daughter, listen, if you're in this home, this is the way it has to be done, because I'm keeping my home safe for my other children, and you may need to do that. But let them try things out, you know, on their own. Let them experience successes and failures. And if you're together in business like we were, they're getting to be adults. Have adult conversations with them. And if you have a home business, take them in on what's happening and talk about it. Let them try some things and see how it turns out. We had one of the sons growing up and getting involved in the business, and he wanted a gooseneck trailer. So he got this big, heavy gooseneck trailer to go behind. When the next son came up and he said, this gooseneck's too heavy, we need to have something lighter. So we got rid of that one, got something lighter. Next one come up and say, if we'd have this straight job truck, we wouldn't always have to hook up to the trailer. So we tried that, right? You know, right? Yeah, so, you know, it's kind of fun. Work together in that. I would suggest that during this age, if you give them their money, you're going to give them all their money. I would suggest not to make the money available to the children at this time. We gave our children a certain portion of their money that they could, you know, learn to spend, learn to save, learn to take care of money. But the large chunk of their money we only turned loose after they were 21, when we helped them buy properties. Our young men make a lot of money. If in my culture, dad got all the money, and then dad helped buy the farms or whatever the young people needed. We tweaked that a little bit, but we kept that money where they couldn't have gotten it. It was in the parents' name up to they were. And we tried to be fair. Try to be fair with your children. It's difficult to be fair over 20 years span with all the changes around us. We tried. I told my children, if you try to see where we've been unfair, you can surely find something, but we tried. We tried to be fair. So you want to teach them that. Teach them about giving, about come up with a plan, maybe with your 16-year-old, of what's the right amount to give, what's good. Come up with a specifics that they can wrap their minds around, what you think would be good. Then don't keep them accountable. Just turn them loose, because giving is unto the Lord. It's not to please daddy. They're at this age that they're growing up to be grown-ups. Anything else I could say yet? There's one thing I guess I didn't say this. I would not entrust at any time the older siblings to discipline the younger siblings. I would not entrust them to do that. They have parents. And the older siblings sometimes think so bad the younger siblings need help. My older sister thought that of my youngest sister, maybe the one my dad dealt with in the high chair, I don't know. But my mom said, and then when she grew up, she was just like the others. And our older children sometimes would talk about the younger children and try to correct them. I said, but they have parents, right? They have parents. And so what do you do when you let your children with the older siblings? Well, they know that they're supposed to behave. The younger siblings are supposed to behave and follow the guidance of the older siblings. But dad and mom would decide when they come back if there was issues, what needs to be done with them. I would have never allowed my older siblings to spank the younger ones. I was always concerned that older siblings would take advantage of younger siblings, and it's happened in terrible, bad ways in some families. That's one point I have. And so at that point, I will open it up again. Oh, there's a couple of things I should say, things that's happened in real life. I'm actually, I think I'm okay with doing this. I'm actually going to use names this time. A couple of things that will come out here. Joseph and I. Joseph was quite rebellious. And I'm pretty much that train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. So it's not because of him, it's me. I would say it's because of the way I lack of trained or mistrained him. And I had a lot of learning to do in my early years. We went through quite a phase change when we went through a spiritual change in our family, quite a child-rearing change as well. So he was quite rebellious. And at a certain point in time in this age bracket, he was with Charity. We were still with the Old Order of Mennonites, and his good friends gave him a cell phone. We didn't have cell phones. And so he connected with his other friends, and that disconnected him even more with his family. So he got more input out there. You guys, you parents with your children's cell phones, you'll probably deal with that, and less with us. And so we lost a lot of his heart because of that. But because he was limited in finances, he got a red truck. He claimed he needed this red pickup truck for the children's ministry up in Lancaster. And, of course, the first Sunday he had it had to be driven to church at Charity, probably to show his colleagues, which we didn't bless. But he was in this age, so I didn't do a firm no. At this point, you want to do what is best for your child and where they're at. The child won't do what I think is best for them, but from where the child is at, I will still do what is best for that child, even though if the child... So I won't cut my relationship to say, you have to do this, and then I block the child off from my relationship because I don't think that's best for my child. So he ran his finances into trouble. By mistake, I opened up his statement and had these $35 charges. And I don't open my children's mail. It was a mistake. I just opened it up. I'm not nosy. I let them have their private mail at this age. But then I told him, by mistake, I opened this up. It wasn't nosy, but I see you have these charges. Yes, and I don't understand it. I don't know what it is. I don't understand it. And I said, somebody must be, if you're not spending this money, somebody must have be spending this for. And somebody was drawing money out of his account. He had the debit card, somebody had his number, and he didn't understand it. And then I said to Joseph, when do you want to come back and be my full son again? Come under my blessing. I hope you straighten this out. And he thought about it. He said, I'd like to do it. Remember, he was a Christian, of course. I said, we'd have to go back to where we were. It would cost you a red truck. And the cell phone, we could use the cell phone as a family cell phone. Just put it on my desk. Whoever goes away in the vehicle, so we, somebody gets into trouble, we can use it. He thought about that, and he decided he would do that. So he got rid of his truck. I would guess he's 17 or 18. And a while later, I said, the cell phone's still not down on my desk. He got a far away look. I just let it at that. And I prayed. During that time, I had prayer time evening, prayer time morning. I prayed. I really prayed about that. And then one morning, just family devotions, we read about 10, 15 verses every morning. I make a couple comments. I didn't pick something to kind of whacking him over the head with the scriptures just happened to be something in our message that just kind of, I realized, oh, this kind of fits the situation as we were going through it, but I didn't pick it out. It was just the line we're going through the Bible. After breakfast, he went up, he got that cell phone and put it down on my desk. And we're very good friends today. Very good friends today. So I think he will bless me for saying that. So I think I'm all right at doing that. So that's what I'm saying. At this age, you deal different. If I had just put my hand down, I probably lost him. He might have gone with the people that gave him the cell phone, who are by the Baptist church now, who's a very good friend, who is divorced, maybe remarried, I don't know. And it's just, yeah, God was good to us. So I give that, I know it exposes us a little bit, but you deal differently with a upper teenager than with a six-year-old. I'm going to open up for comments, and I have one more line to say, and then I will sit down. Two more lines. Okay, people are pretty quiet. It's time to go home. Did you want to say something? Are you going to say something? Maybe somebody's listening or will listen to this that doesn't know me. I'm married to my wonderful wife, very good mother, for 43 years, going on 44, if I got that math right. I have 11 children and 39 grandchildren, 36 which are living. And I would just, this is my testimony. Happy is the man that has a quiver full of them.
Thank you, Brother George. Thank you to all of you for your questions and comments. It is a subject that we could unpack a lot. It'd be nice to have a fellowship meal over this one. But thank you, Brother George, for laboring in this way. There's a few things that Brother George did not mention that maybe they're given here, but I'm going to say them lest we take too much credit for ourselves. They're finding that repeatedly in studies that the most secure and the emotional stable children are those who know both their parents, who know their grandparents, and who know their aunts and uncles. A lot of people don't like that Hillary Clinton said this, but whoever says it, it's still true. It takes a community to raise a child. So let's not undermine those things as well. It takes a community. We help each other. We really benefit from each other if we recognize we need each other. The last thing, and by far not the only thing, but I do want to say this. For whatever it's worth, I feel it's a situation that is clear in the Bible. I'm not going to take the time to read the passage in 2 Timothy. You know what it says. There's four verses there in 2 Timothy 2. But let's don't ever allow children to disrespect dignities. If we lose that, we lose our Christian testimony. We lose the people even attracted to the church. We have to teach and uphold the concept of always respecting authorities, whether it's at a young age your school teacher. Well, I mean, I guess it should start with father and mother, right, in the home. And then it's the school teacher, then you're in your youth, it's going to be many, and as an adult, even more. Never, young parents, never allow your children to disrespect dignities, any authority in their life, and you will help them have a happier life. All right. Are there announcements before we close for the church? If not, let's rise to our feet and close with prayer.